In the aftermath of the defeat of the family and care referendums last week, two Fianna Fáil TDs, John McGuinness and Willie O'Dea, called on the government to abandon its proposed new hate speech laws, which are currently progressing through the Seanad. So why is the Criminal Justice Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offences Bill so divisive? In a moment, Senators Ronan Mullen and Barry Ward will debate the issue. Our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan spoke to a number of people, starting with Professor Amanda Haynes of the University of Limerick, to find out more.
Hate is an extremely amorphous term, and that is perhaps one of the questions that we would have about this particular legislation. So it's in the interpretation section that we would expect the drafters to tell us what their understanding of hate is. And in fact, they use the term hatred in the same way that it is used in the 1989 Act, the previous act which addressed incitement to hatred. And specifically, they say that hatred means hatred against a person or group of persons in the state or elsewhere on account of their protected characteristics.
Senator Eileen Flynn made history in 2020 when she became the first traveller in the Oireachtas. Here she is describing what the word hate means to her.
If I'm attacked online for my appearance, well, that's people just being nasty. But if I'm attacked online because of my background and because of who I am, well, then that's hate speech.
This legislation deals with both hate speech and hate crime. Many of the laws it looks at already exist. Acts of violence and incitement are already illegal, while judges can take hate into account when sentencing. Under the current Irish law, a victim of hate may be targeted because of their race, colour, nationality, religion, ethnic or national origin, membership of the traveller community, or their sexual orientation. Under the new bill, those who may be targeted because of their gender or a disability would also be protected. Here is Professor Seamus Taylor of Maynooth University explaining some of the changes that this bill could bring.
Currently, we don't have regular hate crime law in Ireland, so a judge would not be required to take the racial element into account currently. But if and when this legislation goes through, the judge would be required to take the racial element into account, and they could add to the penalty taking that into account.
So what about changes regarding incitement?
Incitement to hatred is a crime going back to 1989, and it protects people on the grounds of race or religion, including the travellers, and also protects people on the grounds of sexuality. It doesn't protect disabled people currently, and it doesn't protect people on the basis of their gender. So it doesn't protect women, or it doesn't protect trans people. So, yes, we have had incitement to hatred, but the grounds are going to be extended, and it's also going to be extended to include violence.
So what is the difference between hate crime and hate speech?
Hate speech is basically quite different to hate crime. Hate speech is using language to incite hatred, or indeed to incite violence in an audience that's listening to you, or to a group of people. So, for example, you give a speech to a group of people and you incite them such to go out and attack other people, and that it leads to a breakdown in public order.
The bill also includes a provision regarding the possession and preparation of hateful material before any act of incitement takes place. This is one of the aspects that has seen concerns raised. Here is Liam Herrick of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties.
Now, I think the purpose of what the government is trying to do makes sense, that, you know, if you are on your way to a protest and you are going to disseminate material which is going to cause incitement and could cause violence to other people, that they want to have a criminal offence that allows them to intervene before you actually commit the distribution. But I think if you don't create that offence in a very, very tightly defined way, you risk interfering with people's privacy and their freedom within their own home. The current draft doesn't get that balance correct. But we are encouraged that the government now is giving indications that it accepts many of the criticisms that have been made. And I think we hope the government will bring forward amendments when it reaches the Senate.
Some people have also questioned the bill's impact on freedom of expression. But Seamus says that those rights will remain, unless someone crosses over the line where it becomes incitement.
My very clear understanding is that there will be no curtailment of legitimate debate and criticism of any of the protected characteristics. You will be able to criticise men and women. You will be able to criticise trans people and non-trans people. You will be able to criticise LGBT people, aspects of faith, aspects of sexuality. And you should be, because that's what a free argumentative democracy is about. That's what we cherish in Ireland. But it's when you go beyond that to be intentionally hateful to the level that it could incite violence in other people or a breakdown in society's functioning, that then you can be called into question and potentially prosecuted.
That was Professor Seamus Taylor from Maynooth, who was speaking to Gavin O'Callaghan. Earlier, I was joined in studio by Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward, who is supporting the new hate speech legislation, and from our Galway studio by Independent Senator Ronan Mullen, who opposes it. I began by asking Senator Ronan Mullen, what is wrong with protecting vulnerable minority groups from hateful speech?
There's nothing wrong with protecting people from hateful speech. I think it could be argued that we should be protecting everybody from hateful speech. And the way you do that is through the education system. You have other forms of regulation, which can be very desirable. But when it comes to having a loose or a non-existent definition of hatred, being put in at a time when we're in the middle of cancel culture, when there are lots of people and groups out to shout each other down and to shout down unfashionable opinions, when you have a lot of gender ideology going on behind the scenes in government and you have this strange new definition of gender coming from nowhere and being inserted into this hate speech legislation, you see that the people, in the same way that I think people were very sceptical of the government's and were misled in the end by the government's reassurances that durable relationships made perfect sense and there'd be no problem about how it would be defined, the same stubborn refusal by the government to define what hatred is, other than to say that the reason they're leaving it undefined is because they want to see more prosecutions, that would have a lot of people worried about their right to freely and robustly express ideas, even on controversial topics, at a time when there's a real attempt to put manners on people and control public debate in high places.
Okay, but can you give me an example then of what you're concerned about, of the type of comment or the type of claim which this legislation would criminalise, but which you think should be allowed?
Well, I think, first of all, that incitement to violence is the thing that everybody should be against, and we should, I think that almost everything you can think of that needs to be criminalised could be criminalised under the heading of incitement to violence. Are there situations then where an alleged incitement to hatred could be harmful to the point where you would go to the extreme end of social sanction, namely use the criminal law? Well, if there is, the government needs to show us what it could be. I would think, for example, that if you had a parent or a group of parents who are upset by the fact that somebody going into their school is a transgender ideologue, a man dressed as a woman. Let's say somebody says, you know, any guy that goes into a girl's dressing room to change, should be, reasonable force should be allowed to remove that person. Now, is that hate speech under the strange new definition of gender, which is all about gender identity and the spectrum and really rejects most people's accepted belief that, you know, there's male and female and obviously a law that allows people to opt for the other gender since 2015.
Okay.
So that's the kind of thing. And the point is this, Justin, it might never go to court, it might never even be prosecuted, but the idea that a Garda could knock on an ordinary person's door and say, you know, you're not allowed to say that kind of thing. You have a push on to control people's free speech, and the onus is on the government, if they're going to be proposing restrictions on people's free speech at this difficult time, to come up with a definition that people will know will not be abused by campaign groups or not misunderstood by the courts.
I want to put some of those points to Barry Ward. Senator Barry Ward, isn't the central problem here that we don't have a definition of what hate is in the legislation. How am I supposed to know if I've committed a crime if I don't know what the definition of that crime is?
Well, it's not a problem because everybody knows what hate is and what it means. And this is legislation that replaces the Prohibition on Incitement to Hatred Act 1989.
Sorry, what is hate then? I mean, well, there is no definition in the legislation.
There isn't, nor is there a definition in commensurate legislation in the United Kingdom or in other jurisdictions. There wasn't a definition in the 1989 Act that is being replaced by this legislation. Nobody was complaining about it at that point. The reality is we know what we're talking about in terms of the kind of behaviour, but it's very important for people to realise this legislation is not there to stop people being offensive or offended. And Ronan can continue to say whatever he wants, as long as it is not something that is calculated to create hate or to create violence. I think that's an absolutely reasonable threshold. Ronan said he has no difficulty with the ideas of incitement to violence, but somehow has a problem with incitement to hatred. The reality is there are lots of people in this society today who live in fear of the fact that hatred is being put out there about them or about their particular characteristics that are protected under this legislation. That should not be the case. And this legislation is unfortunately necessary because there are people who are trying to incite hatred. So can I be clear about some of the examples on that? Ronan mentioned a few things about people having robust opinions and robust responses.
Yes, and particularly he spoke about the transgender debate.
There's nothing in this legislation to stop people having those views, expressing those views. But what there is a prohibition on their expressing those views in a way that is going to incite hatred against people from those communities. So, for example, use the example of transgender people using changing rooms for particular genders or whatever it might be. Again, there's no difficulty with a parent or a teacher or a citizen saying, I don't think, for example, a transgender woman should be allowed to use the women's changing rooms. No problem with that at all. The difference is saying transgender women should be excluded from society. Transgender women should be put out of you know, the country, whatever it might be. That is a totally different level of comment.
But how do you know? Because there isn't a definition of what hate is. So how are even the Gardaí who would prosecute these crimes supposed to know whether to prosecute somebody for hate speech if that term hasn't been defined in the legislation?
Well, the first thing is a lot has been made of this lack of a definition of hatred. I believe that everybody knows what hatred means. But even if you don't, the law says very clearly in the Interpretation Acts that where something has an ordinary meaning, that's the meaning that should be applied if it isn't defined. And there's any number of pieces of legislation that don't define specific terms because we know what they mean.
Who will decide what the ordinary meaning is? I mean, it's in the first instance, it would be up to a Garda to make a decision as to whether a file should be sent to the DPP. Isn't that correct?
That's right, yeah. Now, and in fact,
to finish that point, isn't it then it's up to that particular Garda to make a decision as to whether this is hate speech or not?
As it is to that Garda in respect of any offence that he or she suspects anywhere. The Gardaí are the investigative arm of the state. If they suspect an offence has been committed, it is up to them to use their judgment and discretion. And that is one of the best things about Ngor the Síochána is the fact that they have that discretion to decide whether to investigate something or to send a file to the DPP. No prosecution under this legislation can be brought without the permission of the DPP, and it's up to the DPP ultimately to decide. But I have much more faith in the ability of Ngor the Síochána to use their discretion here and to know the difference between what is incitement to hatred and what isn't. I don't need it to be written down in the legislation, you know, a finite and prescriptive definition of what is and isn't hate, because I think everybody understands what that is. And we understand the kind of behaviour that this legislation is trying to stop.
Senator Ronan Mullen, do you have faith in the Gardaí to use their discretion to prosecute these crimes properly?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I despise any form of hateful speech. And it's not a question, as Barry puts it, of me wanting to say what I want. It's about the relatively powerless people who want to be able to express their views, who mightn't be as politically trained as Barry or myself, and they find themselves getting approached by the Gardaí or being somehow somebody higher up than them in society trying to put manners on them. The process, as I said, becomes the punishment. As for the Gardaí, the problem at the moment is there were only 72 non-crime hate incidents recorded by the Gardaí in 2022. But the test that the Gardaí use for a non-crime hate incident is anything that is perceived by any person to be motivated by hostility or prejudice. So it could be a completely imagined offence that somebody takes. It could be a campaigning person who simply perceives what Barry might say or what you might say, Justin, as hateful, and suddenly the Gardaí are engaged. Now, in the absence of a standard being put into legislation that insists that hatred be defined, you know? Because if you are going to use the extreme end of social sanction, which is the criminal law, a person has entitlement to know what exactly it is that's inside the law and what isn't. If you don't have a definition of hatred, there's a real danger that the Gardaí will start from that place, which is perception. And again, you know, Barry's reassurances ring so hollow in the light of what happened last week with the referendum. It was the same line. Everybody knows what durable relationship means. Everybody knows That's what hate means. Trust us, we're the government. But I'm sorry, people don't trust the government, because what we've seen going on behind the scenes...
The term violence
is you were
isn't
defined sorry, Barry,
either,
I'll just finish the point. You'll get your chance if it's okay. You know, you got one bit of advice from the Attorney General behind the scenes, which cast an awful lot more doubt than your spokespeople were admitting about what that phrase means.
Okay, well, we're not going to rerun last week's referendum.
But the parallel, Justin, is this, that there is a gender ideology going on here, which the government don't want to discuss. In the same way that they had some gender-based reason for not wanting the mention of a mother, there is a gender ideology behind this strange new edition of a gender definition. Now, why is that significant with this legislation? Because that's exactly the kind of area where people are already calling each other haters if they don't have the popular view, where activists will be getting on to Gardaí, and also social media companies coming under pressure to take stuff down. So you have a censorship coming in through the law in the guise of attacking hatred, which we should all want to attack.
I want to put those points to Barry Ward. Ronan says there's a gender ideology driving this legislation, and you know the legislation could be used to censor people.
Well, I don't accept that. There is a very broad definition of what constitutes a gender identity within the legislation. The reason for that, and by the way, it has no application beyond this legislation. The reason for it is very simply to encompass all of those people who are non-gender normative. And they are the very people who are being targeted by hate speech and violence at the moment. And it's with a view to encompassing all of those people. But Ronan has made so much of the lack of a definition. There is no definition of violence in this either. But he's not making any issue about that, because he knows exactly what violence means, as he does what hatred means. And what this legislation is primarily about is, yes, it's having a chilling effect. It's having a chilling effect on people who are choosing to use their right to free speech to do down particular sectors of society in a way that is damaging to us all, whether he realises it or not. And that's what the legislation is really about. It is not to suggest either that anybody can say whatever they want, whenever they want. They can't. There are all kinds of laws already in place to, I suppose, restrict your right of free speech in reasonable ways. Defamation is an obvious example of it. You can't say whatever you want, whenever you want, nor should you be able to, because free speech is not without consequences, and people say things and do things that are damaging to us all.
Ronan Mullen, we're seeing at the moment a lot of hatred, a lot of vitriol, particularly on social media, directed towards the migrant community in Ireland. Isn't it in the interests of society as a whole that that should stop? And isn't that an example of a situation where we need laws to stop it, because the laws we have at the moment have been ineffective?
Or are not being enforced. Barry says all kinds of laws in place. Well, use those laws. The public order legislation, 1994, rightly says, you know, threatening, abusive, insulting behaviour displayed, you know, which...
It's more
which,
than that, though, to precipitate a breach of the peace.
And you could amend that law, for example, to deal with social media, because that is the problem. You know, why...
It has to take place in a public place, Ronan.
I'll just finish the point. You could amend that law instead of bringing in a draconian new undefined hate speech law, which has a whole set of new protected characteristics, also undefined, and you bizarrely claim that'll have no application beyond this law. The idea, I mean, to hear a barrister saying that you put in a new novel wording into a piece of legislation and to say that that doesn't leach into the entire legal system, I just find incredible. Now, the point is this. Use the laws that are there. The 1989 law, which talked about, by the way, about likely to stir up hatred. That was a much stronger test. So what you see here is the government weakening the law in order that they can get prosecutions. But why this obsession? 2022, as I said, 72 examples of non-crime hate incidents. And many of those, by the way, could be double reporting or mightn't be real at all. The way you address those is through public education, through proper regulation of the social media, through the civil law. You mentioned defamation yourself as an example. But
criminal law, putting people in fear of their freedom, is a totalitarian instinct. It is not the hallmark of a democratic society when it comes to regulating free speech. And this government has shown these dangerous tendencies to be concocting words and laws behind the scenes without discussing them properly, ramming them through the Dáil and the Seanad using the majority if they can, and making bogus promises then that the courts will sort it all out and it's really more clear than it is. You've been found out on that in the referendums, Barry. You should learn your lesson now and go back to the drawing board with this hate speech legislation.
Your response, Barry?
It is neither draconian nor undemocratic to say to people, you may not incite violence or hatred against particular groups.
We're all against inciting violence.
Well, Ronan, it seems to me that you think it is okay to allow that, and you're talking about...
That's a bizarre and misleading comment.
Ronan, it is neither draconian nor undemocratic to restrict that kind of behaviour.
It is draconian and undemocratic not to define hatred and to say we're not defining it because we want more convictions.
You talk about new terms in this bill. These are terms, hatred, for example, that have existed for over 30 years in respective legislation that is being repealed by this legislation. That legislation, for example, was made in 1989 before everybody had the internet in their pocket. It didn't cover any online activity.
It's absolutely a necessity
to update the law to the modern day to deal with online. So you referred to the
Hang on a second, Ronan.
You referred to the Criminal Justice Public Order Act, for example, and the Section 6 provisions about insulting behaviour. First of all, that is something that must be calculated to cause a breach of the peace, which is different from what we're trying to do in this legislation, which is to stop a situation where somebody's inciting hatred as well. But equally, Ronan, it has to take place in a public place.
Very often, the internet is a public place.
No, it's not actually defined under the 1990 Act. It isn't,
Barry,
actually, Ronan. No.
Nobody has a problem with regulating what goes on the internet. It is the idea.
I think you do have a problem with regulating because you seem to think it's okay for people to go out and say whatever they want about whomever they want.
No, your only argument is to try and misrepresent other people's arguments. The reality is,
you taught me everything
speech,
I know on that
free,
subject.
Freedom of expression matters in our society.
Of course,
you have
it
to
does.
Be very slow to curtail it, and even offensive speech has to be tolerated. But anything that could harm or endanger people, that's why you should define hate, as you were told to do by NGOs. The international standards, the rabbi principles, are much more clear about how all this should be defined. But this government wants a broad brushstroke so that it can push any kind of censorship that it wants.
I want to ask Barry about Section 10 of this legislation, which creates an offence for people who create content which would incite violence with the intention of disseminating it publicly, even if they haven't made public that content. Isn't that hugely problematic? Somebody could be prosecuted for having material in their possession which they might never have made public.
Well, no, that Section 10 specifically requires there to be an intention for them to make it public.
How do you prove intent? How do you show that someone has an intention?
That's a matter for evidence. But for example, if I go into your house, Justin, and you have 10,000 leaflets calling for us to kill all the gays or something like that, there's clearly an they're not there for your own perusal if they're all saying exactly the same thing. So there's evidential standards that will be applied there. But the reason that Section 10 is in this legislation is to allow a situation where you don't actually have to be out on the street distributing those leaflets in order for it to be an offence. The same applies in relation to electronic communications. You might have produced material that is about to be disseminated onto the internet. It doesn't actually have to go up live for it to be an offence for you to produce that material. Again, I don't think that's unreasonable. It's a provision that's there specifically to not to tie the hands of Ngoi Siokona behind their back when they have somebody where they have very reasonable grounds and strong evidence to suggest they were going to disseminate material that was calculated to provoke hatred.
Ronan Mullen, what's your response to that?
Well, it's not the core of the problem, because the core of the problem is the idea that the free expression of ideas could be the problem. There was, as Barry said, a precedent in the 1989 legislation. But back then, you see, it's easier to tell if a person has 10,000 leaflets. And it's interesting that Barry used an example that involved incitement to violence, which, of course, everybody should oppose. The difficulty is if somebody has an edgy meme on their phone and looks sideways at a guard on the street, and the next thing somebody inspects their phone, there is, because we're we're in this kind of social media kind of maelstrom, we need to be very careful. And I think that's certainly a section that needs to be looked at, maybe tightened up. In principle, possession of something that is really harmful can and should be a criminal offence. But I am worried about the vague, broad brushstroke approach being taken in this legislation, and it impacts this section as well.
Do you accept, Ronan, that that there does need to be rules around freedom of expression, that we have them in broadcasting, we have them in the media, even in the Oireachtas you'll be hauled up before a parliamentary committee if you overstep the line. There does need to be rules about what people can or can't say, especially when that speech directs hate at other people.
I absolutely agree, and I try and live by those rules myself. And by the way, I'm not a free speech absolutist. I think the government should be doing much more, for example, to curb the spread of pornography on the internet, particularly as relates to children's welfare. The issue, though, comes that in a society where there's increasing distrust of government, it is important to facilitate, not to curb, public debate. And there are people out there who aren't as maybe as skilled as we are in communicating their ideas. They might be a bit edgy, they might be a bit robust. But if there is clear definition in law that shows that if what you're doing tends to harm people, then that's what the criminal law should catch. The problem with this legislation is that it catches but much more. It seems to be designed to put the frighteners on people, to cause people to think before they tweet. And that isn't healthy in a democracy where we have to have the free flow of ideas.
All right. I started with Ronan Mullen. I'll finish with Barry Ward. Barry, wouldn't the sensible thing to do here be to legislate for incitement to violence and put aside the legislation on hate speech until the definitions can be clarified? Because there are even people in the government who are now starting to question this.
Well, firstly, the legislation does cover incitement to violence, but actually I don't think that we should hold off on incitement to hatred as well. I've spoken to people from particular groups who live in fear within their own society, who if Ronan wants to talk about a chilling effect or causing people to think before they tweet, that's not a bad thing, because at the moment there are certain people from certain groups who are genuinely under the cosh because of things that are said about them to their faces on the street, but also online and in other places. I think it's entirely reasonable that we would regulate that behaviour. And if people are going to think before they tweet, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
But the primary
people, message in this run-on is...
You talked about...
Can I just finish this point? This is not something that stops people being offensive or offended. You're entitled to say what you have to say as long as you are not using that opportunity to incite violence or hatred against a particular group.
No,
and I think that's
reasonable. If only it were that clear, Barry.
That was Independent Senator Ronan Mullen and Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward speaking to me earlier.